agreement Sunday, increasing the amount Seoul will pay for having U.S. troops there. South Korea will pay about $890 million under the new one-year agreement. That's about $60 million more than last year. Timothy Betts is acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Negotiations and Agreements.
The United States government realizes that Korea does a lot for our alliance and for peace and stability in this region. And the SMA is only a small part of that, but it's an important part, and we're very pleased that our consultations resulted in an agreement, I think, that will strengthen transparency and strengthen and deepen our cooperation in the alliance.
The pact must be approved by South Korea's parliament. Talks aimed at laying the groundwork for President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's second summit continue. AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
The top U.S. envoy for North Korea was back in Seoul Saturday to brief South Korea's foreign minister and its chief nuclear envoy on 3 days of talks in Pyongyang. Stephen Biegun describes those meetings as productive, but adds, "We have some hard work to do before the second summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam's capital, Hanoi, at the end of February." The State Department says the two leaders will seek to advance the commitments they made at their first summit to complete denuclearization, transforming U.S.-North Korean relations, and building a lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula. Ben Thomas, Washington.
With Brexit just 47 days away, the British government is asking lawmakers to give Prime Minister Theresa May more time to rework her divorce deal with the European Union. Community Secretary James Brockenshire said Sunday Parliament would get to pass judgment on May's Brexit plan by no later than February 27th. Parliament is set to vote on the next moves. This is VOA News. U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces say they've begun an assault against Islamic State to clear the last enclave the militant group controls in eastern Syria. SDF spokesman Mustafa Bali tweeted Saturday, SDF started to move on to the last village remaining under jihadist control, village of Baghouz, which is the only remaining.
This battle will be sealed in the coming days.
SDF officials and the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights estimated there were about 3,000 battle-hardened Islamic State jihadists, mostly foreigners in the region. The observatory also estimated several hundred civilians remained in the area as well. More than 23,000 Syrian civilians and foreign nationals fled this past week as the SDF, which includes Kurdish YPG militia fighters. A Christian woman acquitted of blasphemy after spending 8 years on death row in Pakistan has been transferred from a secret location near the capital to another in Karachi, but is still unable to leave the country to join her daughters in Canada. That's according to a friend on Saturday. Amanullah, who spoke to Asia Bibi by phone Friday, said the 54-year-old still being held in a room in the southern port city. He said she faces death threats by radical Islamists and she's frustrated and frightened, uncertain of when she'll be able to leave Pakistan. 10 years ago, Australia suffered its worst ever brushfire disaster when 173 people died in the state of Victoria. Thousands of homes were destroyed as dozens of fires tore through the southern states. The tragedy led to a revamp of the emergency warning system. Reuters' Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Black Saturday is how Australians refer to a February 2009 bushfire disaster that killed 173 people and left hundreds more injured. The blaze left more than 2,000 homes in ruins and thousands of people displaced. Authorities estimate that up to 1 million animals died. There weren't just a handful of fires, but hundreds. About 400 blazes burned across Victoria State. Most were sparked by lightning and faulty power lines, but others had been set deliberately by arsonists.
A statue of Ethiopia's Emperor Haile Selassie was unveiled at the headquarters of the African Union on Sunday. The statue was the second inside the Continental Body's offices in Ethiopia's capital after one of Ghana's first leader who championed Pan-Africanism. Several African leaders at the current African Union summit and relatives of the emperor attended the unveiling ceremony. Get the latest news on voanews.com and in the VOA News app. I'm Nicole Livis, VOA News.
This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.